I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin.
Hello there.
Hello there.
And welcome to What If Qui-Gon Didn't Die? Bonus episode.
Bonus, baby! Every episode, baby!
This is a Wednesday, and this Wednesday we are going to talk about something different.
Not Star Wars related, sir.
No, not Star Wars related. Something, but something.
Something.
We enjoy. And we hinted at it 2 days ago in our previous episode, and a little Star Wars, little tidbit about the Acolyte. We did mention not the actual name, but we left some clues.
Yes.
Minor clues. But
yeah.
If you've been listening, you might know that we enjoy what we're going to talk about, and we wanted to just talk more about it.
Yeah.
So, what is it we're going to talk about, Johnny?
So today we are going to talk about whether you went down the rabbit hole or plugged back into, sir, The Matrix. Yes.
Lovely.
Great film.
We love The Matrix.
Yeah, yeah.
We're not going to break this down into what if something happened or changed, because I think actually The Matrix is and of itself a massive what if.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Because anything can happen.
Yeah, because it's a computer system, people.
Because if you're in The Matrix, well, what if I could jump off a building? Yes, you can.
And what if you didn't know Kung Fu? I know Kung Fu.
You can learn it.
Yeah.
So we can't, we could, but we won't be breaking into what ifs in The Matrix, because at the end of the day,
it'll be exhausting as well, because it would just be, well, Agent Smith would just do this instead.
Yeah.
Because of the computer system would try and fight you. Yeah. So we're just going to chat about the film, try and enjoy it. Because we haven't seen it in a little while, little things will come back to us and we'll go, oh yes, and
we don't want to do any research by watching a film.
We've already done enough research today by watching the Acolyte trailer, people. let's be fair. I've done my due diligence.
That was a whole 3 minutes of research, and that was enough. So let's talk about it then. Let's talk about The Matrix.
Because let's go back quickly just before we crack on with that. Because we did talk about, in another episode we did a couple of weeks ago, about instances and coincidences.
Yes.
Didn't we?
We did, yes.
And then since then you've been sending me stuff every couple of days being like, oh, well, you never guess what.
Yeah, look at this link to this something. Random thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So that is The Matrix in a nutshell.
Mm.
It's almost like your Instagram algorithms, but in real life. How strange is that? So the computers listen to you, and now stuff keeps happening.
It's just enough to make your ears bleed, isn't it? Your head's going to melt.
You're going to have, what do they call it, an existential crisis, or whatever it's called, when you think about how big space is and your brain explodes.
Yes.
Yeah, I've been there. Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, have you ever seen those videos where they zoom out? So you see, I don't know, maybe they show you an ant on a leaf.
Yeah.
Leaf on a branch on a tree in a park, you know, park in a town.
Yeah.
Town in a county, in a country, in a continent.
Yeah.
In the earth.
Yeah.
Surrounded by water. Now, then you're in space.
Yeah.
And then you see earth, and that's small. Yeah. And you zoom past the moon, which is minuscule.
Yeah.
And then suddenly you're in the solar system. But that's zooming away from there. And then you're in the universe and you go,
wow.
How tiny are we? Ridiculous. Yeah. Absolutely ridiculous.
And you think there's just not one universe. There's thousands of them.
Yeah. And you just suddenly you feel so
very insignificant.
Massively insignificant.
But your brain can't compute the size and the depth.
No.
So this is why people struggle and they get really... You don't get scared, but you do have a sort of worry, panic, because your brain can't compute just how much...
You don't know what to hold on to, do you?
Yeah, because it's just like that. And it's... Everybody gets it. So, you know, if you think about big spaces and you start to get a little bit panicky, don't worry about it. But all humans do that.
But I think this was the initial reaction to a lot of people watching The Matrix.
Yeah, yeah.
So... I remember when it first came out, and it doesn't happen now because I think people's perspectives have evolved and adapted and changed.
Yeah.
But when it first came out, people could not understand the film.
And yes, I remember this,
a lot of people going, did you watch The Matrix? Yeah. Did you get it? Well, at the time, yes, I got it.
Yeah.
I understood. There's one person and they're living their life, but that's a simulation. But simulation theory wasn't a massive thing then.
No, it wasn't. No. Because computers weren't... When The Matrix first came out, even though the graphics and all that were quite good in it for the time, computers for people weren't actually amazing by then.
No.
You didn't have your iPads and your Apples and your Windows 10s of today. It was literally like a block.
Well, this is 97, isn't it, when this film came out? So it's some years old now.
Yeah, it's quite old.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it was kind of mind-blowing, like this idea that, well, what if we are just in this computer program? Like, how?
Yeah, when you walk into a lamppost, that is a computer basically
glitching,
making the lamppost turn up in front of you, or it can't compute where you're walking, so it makes you just turn to the right a bit to knock into a lamppost.
It's like following your GPS on your maps and it suddenly spins around and gets confused about where you actually are.
Yeah, that's the Matrix just having a little bit of a glitch. In that moment,
it just gets confused.
Yeah.
The satellites can't lock onto you, so that's it. You've hit that lamppost.
Yeah.
And you've got a broken nose.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. But then what is it in the beginning of the film? Because he knows he's in a dead-end job, doesn't he? And and when he goes home and he obviously hands out his little things and he's on the computer and then the rabbit hole thing starts talking to him.
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, you know this isn't real, don't you, whatever it is. And you're going, the computer's talking to him back.
Yeah, why is it?
And it looks nothing like MSN Messenger
This isn't ChatGPT.
This isn't MSN. This isn't, you know, MySpace. This is a proper, like, hacker's, because he's a hacker as well. And he's hacking, and you think about this, people, he's hacking a computer system in a computer simulation in a computer simulation. Right? Yeah. Three computers down the line, he's hacking it.
It's the inception.
Yeah, literally, inception of a computer thing. And then it talks back to him.
Yes.
And then, of course, he goes to work and Agent Smith's there. But he thinks he's in trouble at work. But it's actually, it's the computer system trying to find this guy to be like, we just can't pull the plug on you because you're technically real.
Yeah.
We have to come here and almost delete you from the system.
Yeah, that's right, because they can't... Yeah. And that's because when he first wakes up, skipping forward a bit, when he wakes up, he's in the pod, isn't he?
Yeah.
The fluid.
Yeah.
But that fluid, as we find out later on in the films, is actually within not the good part of the Matrix where all the people are dancing in the cave.
Yeah.
That's where the robots are. That's where the...
Yeah.
That's the worst place to be.
Yeah, that's
and that's
it,
where
yeah.
they end up at the end.
Yeah.
And it's where it all goes wrong. So they know they... he's alive, but he's not alive.
This is it. Yeah, he's in limbo.
But he's accessing... through his hacking.
Yeah. He's into some sort of core space of the Matrix computer system. He's accessing it from his make-believe computer system.
He's hacked into literally...
the Matrix.
Well, not the Matrix. He's hacked behind the Matrix into the mainframe,
into the robot's domain, yeah.
So who's he talking to on the computer? Is he talking to Trinity at that point?
Or
is it just somebody...
Is it Morpheus?
Morpheus, I feel like, is sat back a touch, so...
It's got to be one of his...
Yeah, I think...
Isn't it the young lad with the holy jumper?
Mouse.
Because he said he was... Didn't he say, I'm the one who found you or something?
Oh, yeah, the one with the lady in the red dress.
Yeah.
That is Mouse, isn't it? I think that's what he's called.
Yeah, the young lad. Because he's one of the first to die. Bless him. Yeah.
Yeah, they all sort of get it in the end, don't they, really? Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, then Agent Smith comes along and he's like, oh, we need to have a word with you. And he thinks he's in trouble at work.
Yeah.
Starts to run and then...
Well, he gets the phone call, doesn't he?
Yeah,
And says, get out, take this, go to that corner.
Yeah.
And get through that office. And then it's like, you're in this corner office and it's like, right, get out the window.
Yeah.
And he's like,
what?
What?
yeah, what if I fall, I'll die. And he's like, nah.
But then he goes out the window, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Realises he can't do it.
Yeah.
And then he gets captured by Agent Smith. Yeah. And the two other agents who we never see again.
Yeah.
They interrogate, don't they?
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
Where they stitch his mouth up and he...
Yeah, and he loses his absolute mind.
Why?
How would you not?
Yeah, exactly.
How would you not in this day and age? You would... Yeah, no idea. But anyway, yeah. But then it gets real... Because it's all... Because the film itself is filmed, not grayscale, but it's very sort of dull tones, yeah, they, isn't it?
No, the
but just, that's only for the Matrix version of the film. So when he's actually in the Matrix, the colours are quite muted, aren't they? But then when they sort of go down to, what's it called, the actual place where they all live, yeah, it's all grey because it's all metal in Zion. But the colours are there more. It's a bit more vibrant, isn't it? Really, really nicely filmed.
I think, I'm sure I heard that actually there are two versions of this film, and it's to do with the colour grading on them. So when we see it, I think we'll remember the Matrix, like when he's meeting up with Morpheus, it's very green, isn't it? It's very sort of like, the greens are sort of strong, greeny blue.
Yeah. Really almost like a computer screen.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But I think in other versions, it's an ever so slightly different colour. And people have commented saying, this seems different.
Yeah.
To what I remember. And I don't know if it's been like remastered and the colour grading's been changed slightly.
I don't know. All I remember is Zion being a bit more colourful.
Yes.
Even though it's not colourful because they all wear grey and everything's grey.
There's more fire, isn't there? So there's more of that orange and the warm orange and yellow and red sort of comes through, I suppose.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Matrix, especially when they're being chased, is very run down and
grey, green, and even though they're in a, what's it at the end of that film when they're in the hallway of the flats or whatever?
Oh, yeah.
And it's all wood lined, isn't it?
Yes.
But even that seems very dark green, not dark brown.
Yeah.
Because they're in a computer system, so it's all got these sort of green, muted tones running through everything, aren't they?
But if you think about it, it makes sense because they zoom in every now and then.
And it's the green numbers.
And it's the green cascading numbers, isn't it? So you're actually seeing those bright cones. Green cones. Yeah, just sort of making up the whole picture.
They're the atoms, aren't they?
Yeah.
So the computer coding is the atoms of the world in the Matrix almost. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But it adds to that feel, doesn't it? But it also helps differentiate between
when he gets plugged in places, and when he's plugged out. Yeah. Yeah. If you've not seen it, people, essentially. So when he's in the Matrix to start, and then he gets brought out, and we'll talk about how he comes out of the Matrix in a moment. And then the weird thing is they can re-enter the Matrix to get certain jobs done.
Yes.
Or, you know, because they want to try and fight the robots that have made the Matrix, but they need to go into the Matrix to sort of
to find
out how to kill the robots, which is all fine. By the time you get to the end of, is it number two when he meets the Creator? Or number three. Oh,
it could be number two, yeah.
Either way, he meets the Creator of the Matrix.
Yeah, it's either in the end of number two or probably the start of number three.
Yeah, because then it goes on to how all the Agent Smiths, the virus is caught on. So I think it's number three. So they have to keep going into the Matrix, but they can sort of plug in through a, you know, Warhammer neck port in the back. You know, all of the sci-fis have it. Oh, it's like a Neuralink. so they can go back into the Matrix, but you have to choose to get pulled out first, and that's one of the coolest bits when he gets found by Trinity and Morpheus.
Yes,
because then he wake up again, and it's the same day, but he is, instead of forgetting that Agent Smith found him, doesn't he remember?
Yeah,
and that's what pulls him apart from the rest, is that he knows that something's going on. He's like, oh, something weird happened to me yesterday. You know,
Is that not just because he got his mouth shut in the interrogation, and then I think he somehow gets out of that, and then he wakes up and he's like,
yeah. But wouldn't you just think that's a really bad dream? Is that what they try to imply?
Maybe
were a bad dream, but he knows something's going on, which is obviously, and when he's on the computer hacking, they talk to him again, don't they? Because it's that party.
Yeah, that's right, and that's when he meets Trinity.
Yeah, Trinity's at the party, and he falls in love with her straight away. Doesn't he? It's like love at first sight for him, isn't it?
Yeah,
he's like, woo.
Yeah, well, she's running around
cyberpunk babe.
She's running around in tight latex leather.
Lycra, she's doing latex. Yeah,
kung fu kicks on
kung fu in heels.
Yeah, riding a motorbike.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, back flipping a motorbike.
She's going to be ticking a lot of boxes for a lot of people. So
yeah, fair play to her. Yeah, and then obviously she takes him away, and he meets after a little bit of a chase. Because she shows him sort of, oh, I'm not Superman, but I can do this.
Yes.
Because I understand how the Matrix works. And then he meets Morpheus. And then it's the fated question, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
But this is quite a way into the film. So you think, people, we've been in the Matrix now, watching Neo's life, Mr. Anderson, it's about a good half an hour of the film almost, isn't it? It takes a while for him to actually meet Morpheus to then decide. Yeah.
I mean, it's just classic first act, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's sort of setting that scene, yeah.
Yeah.
And then he's gonna get into second act, and he's gonna learn, and then in the third act he's gonna make his choice. Is he gonna go or is he not?
Mm.
And you know, it's classic.
It
sort of works. It is a classic three-part structure.
Yeah, but it's so good because he sits in that chair with Morpheus, doesn't he? And then he goes, "Oh, I can show you the real." And then he's like, "Oh, the red or the blue pill?" And there's that big, and you actually sat on the edge of your chair. I remember watching it for the first time, and I was sat there going, "Well, get out of there! Get out of there!"
So here's a question for you.
Go on then.
Red and blue pill, are they even real?
Well, they wouldn't be, would they?
No, see, it's all just
because it's
all in the Matrix. It's all made up. It's just they're both placebo.
Yeah, they're placebo in the Matrix, but they're coding, aren't they? Because what colour is it he takes?
I think he takes the red pill.
The red pill is the coding for the machines to release you. So what he's done is he's basically opened the little file on the dashboard, which says release Neo.
Do you think that's what it is? See, yeah. I kind of thought that to get out of the Matrix, you have to believe that you are not in the Matrix.
Ah, right.
But by taking the red pill or the blue pill, you are then deciding...
You're cementing that belief, aren't you?
Yeah, you're committing to the idea that one or the other is the correct choice.
Yeah.
So you take that blue pill and you head back to the Matrix and you live your life because that's what you now believe is how it should be. Or you take the red pill and we'll show you how to control the Matrix. And you go, yeah, okay, I'll take that. And you believe it. But maybe you're right. Maybe it is coding.
Because how do the robots know? Obviously, when he comes out of his little pod, surely the robots would be like, "What are you doing here? Yeah. Why are you awake?"
Well, he just gets flushed out, doesn't he?
Yeah. So he pulls the thing out of his mouth and he comes out of the sack.
Yeah.
Which is like nutrient sack or whatever.
Yeah, that's right.
Because he's all sort of flimsy. Well,
it's just the farm, isn't it?
Yeah. And then he gets flushed down and it's all horrible and he can't walk because obviously he's never walked.
No.
But I can't remember what Morpheus says. This is how long since I've watched it, guys and girls. But the impression I got was, he's had the red pill.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, on your little desktop folder, you've gone double click, release Neo or open file.
Yeah.
And that just then has made the robots open the thing because the robot goes to him straight away. So what he's done is he's awoken the file and they've gone, all right then, recycle bin.
Whoop. You must and be right, yeah. That must be it. Maybe it is the coding that allows him to be released, like delete.
Yeah.
So maybe. Yeah, flushed into the bin.
Because the creator would have wrote that code. Well, otherwise
the creator knows he exists anyway.
Yeah.
Because he's seen Neo 1,000 times beforehand.
Yeah.
In all the various iterations of this of this Matrix, which is also mind-blowing because you're watching it thinking...
Is this the first time this has happened to Neo?
How can this construct have been created so many times yet also be the... Who is constructing the construct?
Yeah.
How is the creator making something from nothing?
Yeah.
I mean, some religious types will have perfect answers for that, but... Yeah. the Matrix is just levels down, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's just AI making its own programs.
Yeah, yeah. It's just building for itself, isn't it, to make stuff. It's like when you see a new estate blow up, go up near an old farm where you used to live.
Yeah.
That's the Matrix just being like, oh, I just need to put some more storage space over there.
Mm.
Bibbidi bop, build some houses. Done.
Yeah.
But it's doing it itself, yeah. And then he wakes up and he ends up in Zion. I'm just keep flitting back to the film now, because he goes down the little tube, and then, yeah, he can't walk because he's all weak.
Well, he ends up on the ship, doesn't he? Is that where we next see him?
Well, he gets flushed down and they pick him up, don't they? Because
they scoop him up, don't they? Like one of those game pickers.
Yeah, the crane.
Trying games. To get the teddy bear or the whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and they put him on the ship and he's like, where am I? Oh, well, you're in the real world now.
He's in the Nebuchadnezzar, that's where he is.
That's it. Oh, what a great name for a ship.
Now,
and a great design.
Nebuchadnezzar, I don't know if you know this, it is actually the size of a wine bottle. So you've got normal wine bottles, 750 mils. Then you've got magnums, which are double.
Yeah.
And somewhere along the line of getting bigger, and there are a few stages bigger, not just one more, but Nebuchadnezzar is one of the bigger than magnum size bottles of wine you can get.
Oh, there you go.
I think it might be double magnum. So what's that? That's 3 litres.
That's big.
But I mean, I don't know what relation that's got to a ship in the middle of a construct.
Maybe the brothers who wrote the film just really liked that size bottle of wine.
Former brothers.
Yeah, former brothers, yeah. Yeah, it's all a bit changed now, isn't it?
Literally.
Yeah. But yeah, he wakes up on the ship. And then they have that big old explainy thing, and they're like, "Oh, you can go back into the PlayStation game if you like."
But he doesn't want to believe it, which is funny because
he's taken the red pill already.
To say he wants to believe it, and now he's
woken up and he's in disbelief.
Yeah. Well, this can't be right.
Yeah. What's going on here? Why is it so bad?
You asked for it, and here you are. This is the truth.
Yeah. Literally the truth. And Morpheus. The bloke, what's his name who plays him?
Lawrence Fishburne.
That's it. But he plays Morpheus so well because he's got that projection. Yeah. And when he says this, and you know, he's all sort of, you know, preachery almost. And he's like, this is the truth.
Cleric.
Yeah, this is it. Yeah, he's just... And you want to believe him because he's got that slow, powerful voice. And you're like, do you know what?
He's imposing, isn't he?
He is, yeah, yeah. But isn't it? You know, Neo should have known. If he took the red pill when he woke up and it weren't all sunshine and daisies, you like that. Well, there's a reason why they made a computer program, mate.
Yeah, right.
So we're actually in the centre of the Earth just to keep warm. So put a jumper on.
He obviously wanted to get out the Matrix before he knew about the Matrix, though, because he was hacking.
Yeah.
So he's trying to find truth.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the whole point, isn't it? He's trying to find the truth of the world and how things operate. So by leaving the Matrix, he's then able to see the truth, but he's also then confused by it because it's not what he was expecting.
Yeah.
Because he didn't know what the truth looked like until he got there.
That's right. Because even though the Matrix could have shown him war, you think all of the wars that the Matrix would have had, World War 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
So they would have had that in there as a timestamp in the program.
Yes.
So it's a part of history. So they know what it looks like, and yet when he came out and found the truth, he was surprised by what he found, even though he should have had some recollection that, oh, I've already seen this in the Matrix. We know that stuff like this can exist, surely.
Yeah.
And also sci-fi films.
There
would have been some sci-fi films around in the Matrix based on the time frame when the program's made. So, yeah, but I guess when you wake up, you forget all of that and you go, oh, actually, yeah, the truth of it is disgusting.
Yeah, it's not. And he didn't want to believe it,
yeah.
And then he gets shown that the Matrix can be manipulated and what he was experiencing, because he's not really real in the Matrix.
No.
So when he's there, what he's doing, yes, is rebellious. And he shouldn't be programmed to do that, but it's not really him.
No.
He himself, it must be some sort of glitch in the Matrix.
Yeah. Well, you know what they say when they join back in it? Mm. So the Matrix doesn't want you in there. which is why the agents go after you, because they're like the defraggers.
Yeah, they are. They're trying to just regain order.
Yeah, they're like the virus, antivirus, trying to find you, the white blood cells trying to boot you out. So, yeah, because you are glitching and because you're interacting with stuff which shouldn't be interacted with by your programming, as it were. But if you die in the Matrix, you die on the outside as well, don't you? We all know that. That is a pure sci-fi classic, that. If you die on the upside down, you're dead on the real world. If you die here, you die there. So just be careful. But it's also more dangerous somehow in the Matrix. So you got more chance of dying anyway.
but then we get into the simulation. So he gets shown like the lady in the red dress. He gets shown that everybody walks against him. Because sometimes in life, things just work against you. Now, this is a great way of sort of showing viewers that whenever you get those bad days when nothing seems to go your way, actually, that's the programming.
Yeah.
You know, if you believe the simulation theory, and I'm not saying that I do or I don't, it's incredibly difficult to prove or disprove.
Yeah.
But if you see these sorts of scenarios play out and they've been manufactured by the people who are creating they're constructing this bit of the Matrix, then you relate that back to your own real life and you go, oh, I wonder. And then you see a glimmer of hope. So the lady in the red dress is also the good part of your day.
Yeah.
So no matter how bad your day is and how much everything's against you, every now and then you see something and go, that's worth fighting for. That's worth staying alive for. That's worth it. Keep going, because you might get
to obtain that. Yeah.
And it's the whole film's metaphor, isn't it? That's what it is.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
So then we see that, and then we then get into the training aspect as well.
And he just downloads all of Kung Fu in the world.
Well, before we even get to Kung Fu.
Oh no! Yeah,
we do the jump.
Because he does the jump. Oh my goodness.
The jump is the first real interaction about how to manipulate the world that he's existing in.
Yeah.
So he's gone from just being somebody who can hack computers and, you know, see things that other people can't see, to now being able to manipulate literal time and space to bend it to his will.
Yeah.
And the first test of that is the jump. So he sees Morpheus, first of all, jump an impossible distance, an impossible height.
Yeah.
And then gets asked to do the same. And everybody's watching on the monitors going, can he do it? Can he do it? There's no way he can do it. But if he's the one, he could do it.
Yeah.
And he goes to make the jump. And he fails.
Yeah. Miserably. Yeah. Yeah.
So, but that's his first indication, and that's really a leap of faith for himself, because he now has to build on that to believe that he can be in control of his destiny.
Because it's that thing, isn't it? And Yoda says it, you do not try, just do.
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah, there is no try. Yeah.
There is no try, just do it. And Morpheus is basically the same with Neo.
Yeah.
Don't think about it.
Just believe it and do it.
Just believe it and do it, because what you're doing is you're essentially, you know, you're uploading your MP3 song to a program that shouldn't really play MP3s.
Mm.
Think about it that way. You know, all you're doing is you're just bypassing programs to say what you can and can't do.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, oh, I can't open this with PDF Acrobat Viewer. Well, you can now. You can now, because you've just literally right-clicked and said you can do it.
Yes.
That's essentially what he's doing.
Exactly,
And then he does it in the end, doesn't he? And then after that, they all have a bit of a cheer, and they're like, oh, we can do it.
But then he gets into a fight, doesn't he, with Morpheus? And he finds that he can't fight.
Yeah.
And then he gets his programs literally downloaded into his software.
Yeah.
He learns Kung Fu out of nowhere.
Yeah, they download it somehow. Somehow the real people, this is the only thing that I don't quite get. The real people have the Kung Fu sort of coding in the Matrix, right? So you can download all of the moves, obviously black belt, white, purple, you know, jiu-jitsu, and they can download the stances and the moves. They've got the coding for how to step, but somehow you can download it through your neural link to your head, but know it in real life.
But do they know it in real life? Because I don't think that when they are in on the ship or in Zion or wherever, I don't think they actually have the ability to fight like that. They can't. He can't bend time and space. Well, actually, he can later on, can't he?
He can later on, because he's chosen one, yeah. But I think they can still do the kung fu thing outside of...
I think it could just be a practice thing, isn't it? Because a lot of the time it is just practice. Mm. But I think in that simulation where he's fighting Morpheus, that is the Matrix he's in.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter what information he's got, because it's downloaded, he can keep it and he can just do what he needs to do.
Yeah.
Because it's just a program. He is a program in there, so he can just be modified to know these things.
Yeah.
But none of the other people know how to do kung fu outside of...
No, that's true. They're a little bit more like normal, aren't they?
Yeah, they sort of lose their superhuman abilities.
It's a bit like downloading cheat codes when you learn kung fu, because you don't have to put the work in.
Yes.
Kind of.
Yeah, exactly. But... that I like that whole kung fu scene. I like that fight and the realization. You sort of see him quite quickly go from getting beaten up badly
to defending himself, but moving
in a way that Morpheus wasn't expecting him to be able to move. He moved fast,
yeah,
and he sort of matches Morpheus at the end. And Morpheus is seen as somebody who is superior.
Yeah, he is
the big dog, isn't he? Yeah. He knows the moves.
Mm.
Nobody else is going to defeat him in a fight.
No.
He's one of the only people who could go up against an agent and maybe stand a chance. And we say maybe because realistically nobody stands a chance against the agents, because they are antivirus.
Yeah.
And they're designed to defeat all viruses.
Yeah.
They've had the latest software update and they are...
Yeah, and they are faster and more stronger than...
Yes.
You know, any bug that can get in via the naughty sites that you go to.
and it's only later on when Neo and Agent Smith are fighting. They first of all, in the subway station...
Yes.
They fight, and then there's the iconic scene where they're both horizontal midair,
yeah,
shooting guns either side of each other's heads, but moving so slowly, or apparently slowly, but actually really, really fast.
Yeah, so what they do is to make it more easier for your brain to follow, yours and mine, they slow it down.
In bullet time
to show just how quick them, because obviously a bullet is just starts to be the sound. It's gone, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, but they've slowed it down so they can see how quick they're reacting and moving side to side. But again, that's just programming.
Yeah.
Because the program's basically saying a bullet's moving this quick, even though physics dictates you can't move your neck that quick because you'll break it, the programming's saying you can.
It's just altering the
program, which then makes, you know, because if you did move your neck that quick, you'd break it.
Yeah.
But Neo doesn't ever break his neck because he's just a program and the coding's gone. He's moved X quick, yes, and a bullet moves Y quick. So he's gone, well, I'm going to move X quick every single time.
There's a moment where Agent Smith throws Neo into a wall.
Yes.
And we see him start to punch him. And then the time sort of changes a bit.
Mm.
The speed of time changes so we can see actually how fast he's going.
Yeah.
But even that's probably too slow for what he's really doing.
Yeah.
But it's really still a cool effect. Like,
yeah, we love watching, really good. Especially because of, like we said, it's quite an old film now.
Yeah.
So the actual computer graphic effects, even though they do look a bit trash now, when it first came out, you were mind blown.
I still think they look decent. I think there's no...
Oh, I only mean like the faces and stuff look a little bit. But the actual slow-mo sort of, because they use that sort of funnel graphic, don't they, to show the speed with the echo of the movement. I think that's good.
Yeah, I like all that.
Because and then Yeah, because he's punching him in the wall while he's still in the wall, isn't he?
That's it.
And
yeah.
he slows it down, and actually he's punching him like, what, 150 times a second?
That's something ridiculous.
But even quicker than that, and Neo's just there taking it because he's realised the coding, it can just be like, well, every time he hits me, it causes pain. But if I move that coding for pain away into the recycle bin, it's like every time he takes a punch, he's going, recycle bin.
Yeah.
Because he gets up and he goes, ow. But really, all of the pain's just like the coding for the antivirus has just disappeared. This is what Neo is. He's the chosen one because the antivirus can't touch him, essentially, isn't it? That's what we get at. In the end of the third film, it's, oh, I'm stronger than all antivirus. I'll just take over antivirus.
Yeah. I like as well the spectators. So back on the ship and they're watching his vital signs during this fight.
Oh, yeah. They're watching him, aren't they?
Yeah.
On the screen.
So they've all managed to escape.
Mm.
They've gotten to the telephone box and they've zapped themselves away. But they're watching him and they're all saying, run, run, run. And he doesn't run and he fights. And they all think, oh, that's it. It's game over.
Yeah.
But this somehow...
Morpheus is going to have to go and find another one.
Yeah, but somehow he's losing ever so slightly, but he's not losing by as much as the others do.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's moving quick and he's able to sort of keep up with the agent. And you can,
yeah.
even in that, you can see him develop that speed. He's kind of like, he's machine learning, isn't he? So he's seeing what the agents are starting with. He's fighting, he's losing, but as time goes on, he loses less.
Yeah.
And he starts making ground, and eventually he's able to escape.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he gets pinned on the train track. And Agent Smith says, do you hear that, Mr. Anderson?
Yeah.
That is the sound of inevitability.
Yeah.
And just right the last second, Neo manages to flip Agent Smith off him into the train and also get back onto the platform.
Yeah.
In a very slick move, which buys him the time to get on the phone and get out.
What's the bit when he stops all the bullets? Is that after that train bit?
So that's...
Because that's nearer the end, isn't it? When they're in the building and he stops all the bullets.
That's
and goes,
right near the end, yeah.
And so, then he's like... And he does the whole, come on.
Yeah, so...
Because that's after the train.
So they have to go and rescue Morpheus. Morpheus has been captured, hasn't he?
Yes.
And he's up in a room up on some skyscraper and he's being questioned by the agents. There's the helicopter outside.
Yes.
That we see. But before that, Trinity and Neo go into the bottom. What looks like almost like a high security bank or vault.
The vault in the bottom of the tower.
They go in and there's security guards and they check their bag of weapons through. And obviously it goes off, but they know it's going to go off.
Yeah.
And they walk through the scanner and like, we just need to search here. And he just opens up that trench coat and goes... Yeah. He's just fully loaded with all his guns. He's doing one-handed cartwheels and picking up guns and shooting. And it's very exciting. But it's a lot of good action in that. Very classic 90s kind of action scene. Yeah.
Because they do that in the... Because it's the same kind of scene in the second film as well, at the bottom of the restaurant.
Yeah.
So they have the same kind of fight there. And I get confused between that and that. I sort of merge them into one fight. But yeah, there is in the first film that bit down there, isn't it? Because that's when you start to see Neo grow. And he has the shades on, doesn't he, as well, for the first time. And Trinity's like, oh, nice shades. Like, yeah, thanks. In his old, Keanu Reeves style.
Yeah.
And then
So the whole point of them being there is to rescue Morpheus, isn't it?
Yeah, even though they keep telling Trinity that she can't do it.
Yeah.
But she's got the plan, hasn't she, to get Morpheus out and then get to a box. Because the hacker on the ship, he can access the Matrix and do stuff, can't he?
Mm.
Like he can make a car appear, like in GTA.
Yeah, that's cheat code, right.
Or he can make a helicopter appear, or he can, they can manipulate police, even though the antivirus can take over the police. There's a hacker on the ship who can do certain things. well, they can make a car appear or make a telephone box or tell them where stuff is.
Yeah, that's usually what they do, is just say, right, you need to take a left here.
Yeah, to get to a phone box, or there's a car here without an alarm and the keister's still in it.
Yeah, here. They can sort of see how things work.
Yeah. But that's awesome in itself. Imagine being like, oh yeah, there's a car. The coding says the key's in there.
Yes.
And it's got plenty of fuel in it. It's quick.
Hop in.
Yeah.
This will get you to safety.
Yeah.
So then after they've been fighting there, they end up on the roof.
Yes.
Of that building. Now, they haven't saved Morpheus at this point because they need the helicopter that's circling. But this is where Agent Smith confronts Neo.
Properly.
One-on-one, pretty much. Mm. Trinity's out of action, I think, for whatever reason. Or she's not available at that time.
Isn't she distraction kind of effects? She's already jumped off the building, isn't she?
Maybe. But she comes back. But
yeah.
This is where Agent Smith then shoots at Neo.
Mm.
And Neo's able, out of nowhere,
he dodges those bullets.
Yeah. And yeah, he takes an arrow to the knee.
Yeah.
But he's all right.
Yeah, it's Neo, for goodness sake.
He's still able to go on more adventures. So
I took an arrow to the knee. I used to be an adventurer like you.
But that was super cool as well. Seeing those effects was really good. And then Trinity does appear with a gun next to Agent Smith's head, goes, dodge this.
Yeah, shoots.
Which is cool. Yeah. But doesn't kill him because
he's antivirus. And he was just
posing as a cop anyway.
Yeah.
He'd infiltrated another character. But then they get the helicopter and then they're able to rescue Morpheus by taking the helicopter, the chain gun, take out the entire room.
Yeah.
And then I think it's not long after that Neo is trapped somewhere. And this is right near the end of the film. And it's as he leaves, as he's just about to leave a room, he's looking for a telephone to escape.
And he's don't the hacker get killed by what's his face?
Oh yeah.
He shoots him in real life.
Yeah, Joey Pants. In his chair.
Yeah, Joey Pants shoots him in real life.
Yeah.
And because the others sort of come out and they're like, oh, what's going on? Why is he dead in real life? Oh, we've been betrayed.
So he gets Mouse and he gets Dozer. He gets the blonde woman.
Yeah.
Was there somebody else? Well, actually, he doesn't kill Dozer.
No.
He nearly kills Dozer, but he comes back with the...
With the electric weapon thing. Yeah. Yeah, the straight out of Warhammer. Yeah, electro weapon. But... Because don't Morpheus and Trinity get out? But aren't they somewhere else? They're not actually where Neo is.
Yeah, something happens in
their bodies are actually sabotaging.
Yeah, so Joey Pants' character is sabotaging them all whilst they're in the Matrix.
Yeah, and he's moved them around and done stuff.
And that's why I think Neo gets trapped in there.
Yeah.
And he's looking for this phone, and eventually he gets on the comlink or however they communicate. He's getting told, go to this place, go to that place. And he ends up in the apartment.
Yeah, that's right.
And he's just about to run through a door. He opens the door, about to step through, and the agents are on the other side of the door and just bang, they shoot him. Was it like three shots he takes?
Three shots,
Right to the chest.
Yeah.
He shouldn't have survived. But Neo is the one.
Yeah.
And
He realises he wakes up. Yeah.
And as he does, he suddenly, his vision changes, he can see.
He can see the coding, doesn't he?
Yeah.
So it changes to the scrolling green and he realises, oh, that bullet is just actually coding.
Yes.
So that coding can just come out of me now because I'm going to pop that in the recycle.
That's what he does. He just looks at it, doesn't he? And that's when they all shoot at him.
Yeah.
And that's when he goes, no.
All right. And he holds his hand up in sort of anime style and he's just stood there with, because his other hand's behind his back. That's the Neo thing, isn't it? One-handed to show just how good he is.
I think the one-handed behind his back is just a touch later once he starts to understand.
But
I think at that point, yes, he's just suddenly like, I'm being shot at. And whereas before he had to dodge the bullets, now he's able to just manipulate the bullets in midair and go,
just coding that needs to stop right there, please.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's just the code. I'll stop it.
Yeah.
I'll edit that. Pause.
Yeah. Pause game. And BRB.
And this is when we really see Neo become the chosen one. He is the one.
Yeah.
Because he's now able to manipulate, like Morpheus had always predicted he would.
Yeah.
He's now capable. Yeah. And it's not even his full power yet. It's not his full potential.
No, you think by the end of film three, he's done some major cool stuff.
Yeah, he's able to just do ridiculous amounts of...
Yeah. But doesn't Morpheus... Because Morpheus is looking at the screen and he's going... He's sort of doing that, I knew it.
Yeah.
I knew he was the one.
You all doubted me, but...
Yeah. Basically, you all doubt me because there's that other general from Zion, isn't there?
Oh, yes.
And he really disbelieves him.
Yeah.
And then he sort of even goes... Oh, okay then.
Yeah, well, maybe it's true.
Maybe it's true. Look at Neo and Trinity's like, I need to go and help him. And Morpheus is just like, why? Yeah. You don't need to go in there now.
What are you going
to
do?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think that's what we see sort of almost as the climax of his abilities, isn't it? And then he's able to sort of, then he's able to escape.
Yeah.
That's it. That's
the one-handed bit because Agent Smith's punching him like buggery and he's just there one-handed. He's not even looking.
But it slows down, doesn't it? So he starts off fighting two hands and they're sort of even. And then as it goes on,
Neo realizes. Slows
down. He's sort of like, I don't need to work so hard here. And then he starts looking at his hand as he's still defending himself.
But this must just be because his left hand's in slow-mo. But you've got to remember, his right hand is moving so quickly. Yeah. But in reality, he's literally just like, his right hand's a blur, but he's just looking at his left hand going, oh, don't need to do anything with that. How amazing.
Don't even need this one, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just blocking the code with this bit of code, which is my right arm here. Lovely.
And then that's it. And then he just absolutely wins the day, doesn't he? And that's it. He's able to escape and they're able to then go back into hiding, really, because actually when he's back on board, he's not really the one anymore because there's not code to decipher and to manipulate.
That's it. It's only the later films where he actually does the one stuff outside of the Matrix.
That's possibly once he realises, because he meets the creator, that actually what he's in, even then, is not real.
Yeah.
It can't be real because somebody's made it.
Mm.
Somebody's made this entire thing, so surely there is another level. And he is able to then manipulate it.
That's
another chat for another time.
Yeah. Oh, that's so good. Is it when they get back? What film was it where they? Because they're on the ship, and then after that fight, don't they just go back to Zion? But they're don't the aliens? Don't the robots chase them? Sorry, in the.
Is it
the first film where they chase them back to Zion?
There is a chase. Where they have to turn off all the power, and part of that power being down stops people from getting back into the ship.
So I think from the Matrix.
They can't power back up to help or something along those lines.
Yeah, that's the bit I'm thinking of because it's the later films where the robots come through to the tunnel and then they find their way to Zion. That's how they do it, isn't it?
They tunnel in.
It's a great film, my man. It's a great film.
Absolutely love it. And I think it's
timeless as well.
But I also think it's one of those films that when it came out, it was groundbreaking and people loved it.
Mm.
And then I think as an effect of the second and third films not being as good, the first film actually lost a bit of favour.
Yeah.
I think some people kind of went off them because they thought, well, two and three aren't so good, so maybe number one's not so good. So they kind of disregarded the whole series. But actually, that first film
is still number one, even if it's standalone. And I said this the other day as well, didn't I?
Standalone about films. Film. Yeah, first
you know,
one.
They didn't need to make two and three. I know it added lore and it added all this other stuff and the creator and the oracle and, you know, how to manipulate code a little bit more within the restaurant and the pants and the chocolate cake. And,
that's right, yeah. And he knows it's not real, but he's going to enjoy it.
He's going to enjoy it anyway. And then he makes the cake somehow. The code of the cake makes the code of the woman horny.
Yes.
Remember that bit? Because she eats the cake and then he knows that it's going to make her sort of a little bit horny downstairs. And you're like, yeah, so you're manipulating the code even more, but Neo can still do that if he wanted to. You're telling him sort of how to do it, but yeah. But no, yeah, again, if it was just a one-time film and it didn't go any further and they got Morpheus out and that was that, yeah, the robots are still there, but didn't
still,
you don't,
still,
if
still
you didn't a get a film. Budget for another film, we wouldn't have cared, because no. The first one is amazing. It's and so it's where all this sort of weird stuff comes from now. You think that was the point in which people go... And this is saying now, isn't it? Oh, I'm just in the Matrix, glitching the Matrix.
Yeah.
Because if you trip over thin air and you're like, I've lifted my foot, there's nothing to trip over, but I've just stacked it over nothing. That's the Matrix glitching you out, putting a little bit of curb there or something when it's not supposed to be there.
Yeah, and even sticking stuff in like that, like deja vu.
Yeah, deja vu. Because you can see it in your mind's eye that you've done it, probably because in some program in somewhere you have.
You just glitched.
Yeah.
Which beforehand, nobody knows why deja vu exists.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, there's this film that just goes, oh, well, by the way, deja vu is because...
You have done it. The coding says...
The coding accidentally got confused and showed you that just before it should have happened.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's in your brain.
Yeah.
You know. Or it's replayed scenarios. It's just different people. So you can have the same, you know, deja vu with conversations. It's... You've already spoken about this before, but then you're going, oh, but I've already had this conversation.
Yeah.
It's because the programming just put you on a routine run.
Well, yes. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe when you go and like have some me time, you know, relaxing at a spa, having a massage or, you know, meditation.
Mm.
Maybe that's just you defragging yourself.
Maybe, but what about, because I never do that, so I am just a big jumbled mess of undefragged nonsense.
Same.
Yeah. Well, this is it.
Same. Maybe this is my problem.
Maybe this is it. But then, you know, I think loads of stuff, it's like when a car breaks down, almost, and, you know, some people like yourself would know what to do.
Hmm.
Because you've bought the subscription service to unlock the folder of how to fix a car.
Yeah. Somebody's downloaded that into my brain.
Somebody's downloaded how to fix a car, whereas some other people, the Matrix has gone, oh, can't afford the space in your RAM.
Oh yeah, your brain's coding too in full.
There. Yeah, you've got the coding for every Pokemon in there. So you can't know how to fix a car fully. But you can store. You are the storage hub for all information Pokemon.
You can recite all 151
in order. Yeah, but you cannot know how to change a light bulb. But I can change a light bulb, people. All right. But you see what I mean?
Just not an H7.
All right, then. So here's a quick one, because I know time's getting on. I'm a bit conscious of the time, yeah. When you play an instrument.
Yeah.
Say we're in the Matrix. The Matrix has made some coding on vibrations and sound,
mm-hmm.
because it ain't real. So when you play an instrument in the Matrix, you're listening to a sound, which is code, which is made by vibrations, which is code, which you then play on a string or, you know, pluck an instrument, which is also just code, but made to look physical to you. So code makes code that makes code. Which then your coded brain interprets, well, it's just the code touching another code, telling the code, which is you, what notes you've played.
Codeception.
Codeception. Honestly, a guitar in the Matrix is one of the weirdest things. Or the C.
I mean, nobody knows because what's in the C.
How does the Matrix know what water feels like? And yet when you have a shower or whatever, you know the coding of water rolling down you is a feeling that only water can give. But how does a computer system know how water feels? Because you can't describe it.
Mm.
So how has the creator made the coding for water to feel what we would say wet? Or heat?
I mean, how does anything feel like anything? Have you ever considered the fact you can't feel the end of your fingertips? Until you touch something else.
Wow, yeah. Wow, that's true.
Yeah, you hold your hand out and you can't feel your hand.
No.
But if you touch something...
You know your hand is touching it.
You can feel what...
Well, that's just because they're receptor points. They're all USB ports at the end of your fingers, and everything you touch is just a USB docking in quick.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, I could talk about this film for ages, and there's also loads of like weird little offshoots that you could talk about. But
we can always revisit. We can find funnels of this, and we can make little bonus episodes, perhaps, where we'll talk. Where we can find one aspect and explore that.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
And see where it goes. See how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Yeah. Wow. And then we can choose what pill we take.
Purple?
The purple one, please. I just want the one where I wear my wellies and I go down to the bog, watch the other episodes to understand what I'm talking about.
That's actually in the next episode.
Yes, this will be in Friday's one. So, I hope you enjoyed that, people. How long have we been talking for?
We've been on for 55 minutes.
This is a long one.
Yeah, that's what she said.
I'm a bit frazzled now, so I think we should end there, good sir.
Sounds good to be. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, I love talking about The Matrix. This is what we do best, just chat smack about films.
Absolute nonsense for the best part of an hour.
Yeah, yeah. And you've heard a lot of the word coding and a lot of the words...
Matrix.
And a couple of... Yeah.
Right, well, great place to wrap up.
Yeah, man.
As always, look after yourself.
Be good.
And, stay out of the Matrix.
Mr. Anderson, stay out of the Matrix.